This is a production of Cornell University.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back from the last couple of weeks. We had the additional 31 days in October. So if anybody showed up last week, you're alone. And we've got kind of an interesting schedule coming up over the next few weeks with the Thanksgiving holiday break as well. First, I'd like to go ahead and call the meeting to order. And we will start with the approval of our last meeting's minutes. Are there any, is there a motion to approve those or any amendments? Motion, is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any dissent? Okay, the minutes are approved from our last meeting. And today, I want to first of all recognize Kim Babuka, who is joining us here as the Director of Compensation Services. And she's going to be sharing some information with us about a new initiative that HR is going to be rolling out. And so, Kim, the floor is yours.
Are you going to go there?
Yeah, wherever you feel most comfortable.
I can sit if we...
Or you can sit at the table if you'd like.
You can maybe do a quick attendance while I get the presentation.
Oh,
okay.
That's me.
Sure. All right. Yeah, we can not... give a couple other announcements. The just to bring everybody up to speed, the staff discussions will kick back off again next week. We have three that are going to be taking place to include a second and third shift meeting on Monday night. And once we get done with the three next week, we'll have five total. And at that point, we're going to turn information over to Andrea and the Welfare Committee to start working on bucketing the items and content that have come out of those discussions. And with the goal that at the conclusion of the 10 or 11 of them, I guess, we will have that information when we go to the mid-year retreat to be able to start working on some action items and follow-up items for the staff that was presented. Are there any questions about that? Is Gina's getting that squared away?
Sorry.
Yes, Andrea.
Is that an anticipated outcome that was promised as part of those that the Employee Welfare Committee will just pull them together and organize them in a thematic area for a potential discussion at the committee level? Or is that going to be something that the full, all of us will work on?
Yeah, it's a very good question. What I would like is if the Welfare Committee can take the first look at each of the items and we can categorize the comments. And then as an assembly, I think we're also going to be working with from HR. Reginald? No, well, it's Reginald's part of it, but Mary has somebody on her staff that she wants to assist us with and keeping an objective view on all the items that are brought up, helping us understand that our own biases can sometimes influence how comments are either articulated or received. And so that's kind of the follow through on it. And then when we get to the mid-year, we can take a little bit more depth or deeper look into the comments and where we have those themes and what items we can start peeling out actionable either for HR or for the employee assembly to be working on.
Hey, maybe Angela, Craig?
I'm sorry?
Is it maybe Angela?
It is not.
Lauren?
It's Linda?
Lauren?
Kroll Howell?
Yes, I think Linda. Yes, Linda Kroll Howell will be kind of hunching.
Well, so. Should she then be included as part of the Employee Welfare Committee?
Please feel free to invite her. Whether she participates or not on the front end, I think it is, you know, we can leave that up to her. I think sharing the information that we have to this point, it would be helpful just so she's aware of what comments we're receiving.
Okay. Just a bit of information. Linda is a former member.
Okay, great.
So she's been one of us.
Yeah, awesome. All right. Well, Kim, I'll turn the floor over to you now.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to show you
I wanted to inform you all of this new portal that we're rolling out for some staff recognitions, for spot recognition. So it's not available yet to the campus. A rollout will be, we want to make sure everything is ready with the portal and campus readiness. So sometime in November, hopefully November, maybe December. So I just wanted to give you kind of a heads up about this great tool that we have for staff and answer any questions that you have. So based on what we've heard from the employee survey, based on what we know in HR, the ability to recognize our employees, we want to be able to celebrate staff excellence, right? First and foremost, we want to celebrate staff excellence. We want to ensure that they're to create an engaged and productive workforce. So based on that, we want to be able to have peers be able to recognize each other and have a low-cost way for real-time recognition for managers to supervisors. So we see that the value intent of real-time recognition, that this is something that, of course, has come from many studies, intends to say increases job satisfaction and productivity. We're going to implement a simple university-wide way to be able to implement this real-time recognition. And we want to be able to boost morale for low-cost and no-cost ideas. So this portal is just one way to recognize our employees. We know that we have many ways that we can change an employee's base pay. We have many ways that we recognize others' non-base pay with our high five recognition, our university service awards that we have, low-cost, no-cost rewards about having a staff meeting in a different place or something, professional development opportunities. So all of those things are ways that we want to recognize our employees and make sure that we have an engaged and productive workforce. This is just one new tool in your toolkit. So what this is it's a portal that there will be non-monetary and monetary recognition. So the main portion of this portal is going to be the non-monetary way to enhance our culture of appreciation. So that's what we're going to be doing, enhancing the culture of appreciation. And all of the non-monetary and monetary recognition are going to be tagged for our skills for success. So everyone knows what the skills for success are, right? You've heard of those skills for success. So the monetary recognition will be peer-to-peer. They will be able to be for our staff recognition. You all will be able to recognize each other and be able to say a thank you, kind of like a thank you card through this portal. And for a small monetary value that we actually have in addition to this, managers to be able to recognize their employees in the form of points available from 10 to 75, non-taxable to the employee, that they have the ability to spend at the Cornell store or through items at Amazon. So great news, right? Great news that we're going to have this portal that will be able to say peer-to-peer recognition and real-time recognition for managers periodically to recognize their employees with points that can be used in this portal. The points will be a one-to-one ratio, so 1 point equals $1. And the points roll over, so if we receive a $10 recognition, the person doesn't necessarily have to spend that all at once. It rolls over until the employee terminates. And the university service awards that we currently have right now, if anybody has been here for 25 or greater years of service, this portal is combining with that portal. So the points that you receive for the service recognition will be combined. You can combine these points if the employee received. So that's kind of the overarching program. I'll show you a little bit about what the portal will look like. So the portal will look like this. It will be, the website will be on a few places that I'll show you at the end. What will happen is when you log into the homepage, the appreciation portal will show the skills for success. And the skills for success will be scrolling the scrolling banners. Right here, this red bar will click you to the university website to talk a little bit more about the culture of appreciation here. There's a recognize tab and then a shopping tab. So if we click on the recognize tab, which is also available up on the red toolbar, it's a very simple, fast way to recognize your employees or peers. You search the user, so it's similar to Outlook, that we just start to type the person's name in. If we put in Kim Babuka, and there's two Kim Babukas, they both pop up, but HR will be by one, and if I was in a college, another one would be by one, so you know that you're grabbing the right person. Type in the reason for recognition, so, you know, thanks for a great job in the meeting today, I really appreciate your participation, you know, appreciated your participation. Tag it to a skill for success. So if you type in the pound sign, those skills for success will pop up. So it will say if you wanted to use initiative, initiative will be typed in there. And then you hit recognize. And then the employee will get an email with that information in it that I'll show you. There is ability to do a public or a private recognition. So private recognition means that that email will just go directly to the employee. The public recognition, that will be on this portal feed. So the recognition that you receive will just kind of show them kind of like in a social media feed like that. If there's points that are attached to it, the points won't be showing. And then this is what the recognition email will look like. The recognition email will come, the subject will say you've been recognized. What it will show in there, it says you've been recognized, hi, whatever your name is, the message that the employee typed in, and who typed the message in, so who it's from. Below here will show a little bit about our culture of appreciation, and on this side will say how to log in and recognize somebody else. Or if you have points, it will say how to log in and spend your points. If you have received points, the message will say on top you've been awarded 10 points.
Does it show the preview of how I just thanked someone? Will it show me that preview?
It will show you, you'll see what it looks like in the box that you type it in. It won't show you how it looks in the email that will be sent, but you'll be able to see it. And there's spell check in the. So that's the email that you will get. And a little bit more about the portal that will be saying on that top bar, remember that top red bar that you could recognize, that has recognized? In the My Profile, the employee, when they get a recognition, it will show start to show a pie chart for the recognition that you get tied for those skills for success. So it looks like in this recognition, you know, that out of the recognitions, they form a pie chart and they show, you know, which recognitions were the most frequently used. This is what the social media feed will look like. So you'll see there's some pictures in there. We're not pulling in the workday pictures. So yay, right?
Yay.
So if we have a decision to, you know, put in your own photo, you can certainly put in your own photo. Or if you don't put in a photo, it will just say the first initial of your first name. And then it just shows the messages that come through, right? So you'll be able to see all the messages that you receive. The second tab under there is just my redemptions. So if you have received points and you redeemed something, it would just kind of show the redemptions that you received. So on the spending points, it will be very simple. It is on the top banner. It says spend points. If you click on the Cornell store, what the Cornell store will show you is it will show you vouchers from $10 to $75. You just click on that voucher, put it into your cart, and when it's ready to be picked up at any of the campus store locations, you can pick it up. And then if you choose Amazon, this is what it will look like in the bottom. It kind of looks like what the Amazon structure looks like now. There's ability to search in the drop-down menu, and then there's the ability, I don't know what's happening here. And then there's the ability to search within the current points, within all points that are available, or just the points that you have available in your balance. And then you just say, you just select the information and then put it in your cart and then you can check out. So there's no markup on any of the products that are in there. It's the same price that's delivered on Amazon. What will show is a little bit more is because sales tax is included. So if you have 10 points and you're looking for something that costs 10 points, that's all it's gonna cost you. You won't have to pay 10 points because it's there. You won't have to pay more than 10 points because they're shipping. Now, periodically, that will be the points, right? The main reason that we're putting this portal out there is to enhance our culture of appreciation, right? So peers and peers have the ability to recognize somebody. And periodically, if a supervisor wants to recognize somebody with some points, they can recognize with some points. The university is not paying any additional dollars for this, so it is coming out of the college unit budgets, and they're all very on board with this kind of information. And then currently, we're, it's in test right now, and so I'm meeting with some media groups, and there's some really good messages that are coming in the social media feed. So I think that the managers and the folks that we've spoken to already are really getting behind this portal to be able to engage our staff. Where it will potentially, where it will be located is on the Human Resources homepage and a few other places. It will be in the our workplace culture. There's appreciation and recognition page. Also, it will be on the Workday homepage in the news announcement. So it will be available there. If you click on the appreciation and recognition homepage, this is, oh yeah, Workday, and then a manager's toolkit. So it will be also there to remind a manager to recognize their employees. This is what the appreciation and recognition page looks like. It's out there now. So right now it says we will be implementing an easy to use appreciation portal. When we're ready to go, it will change it to say we will. We'll say that it is. And then you, it's up on the top. That's where you would click in. So when you click into that right there, it will do is it will show you the information that will say, visit the portal, compose your message, post your message, and notify the recipient. And then it just says a few frequently asked questions for an employee to say, you know, what's the value, what type of recognitions, how will they know if I've been recognized, and then system support. So that's really basically the portal in a nutshell. The portal in the nutshell to be able to say, this is the way, just one more way that we can recognize our folks through a peer-to-peer recognition and some monetary value for our supervisors to be able to deliver points without having to be able to do things in real time. Yeah, question?
Yeah, just because I was very rude about my phone and I stepped out. So I guess I must, I might have missed something.
Okay.
So who or how is it determined, the points? Who's the one that makes that determination?
So the supervisor, so right now we have a commitment that we have for the portal. And we've divided all the dollars that we've put in there. We've divided it through all the college units based on their employee population. And so that's the way that we've distributed points, which is a very small dollar value right now because we want it to be enhanced the culture of appreciation, not a monetary value. And then it's determined based on the colleges and units, like how they're going to be communicating that to be. It's not the expectation that everybody will get a monetary value every single time. It's a it's a periodic way that we will be giving the points.
So a supervisor can't say that Kevin's such a good guy and everything. I'm worth 75 points for doing this one little task.
Right. The expectation is we won't be giving 75 points for doing a timely attack. We need to do extraordinary behaviors, innovation, you know, things like that that normally we would maybe say, but we give a bonus to, or normally we would say we do something else, right? This is one additional way to say, here's a kudos, or it could be periodically.
So who's monitoring that?
So we're monitoring at the college unit level, we're monitoring at the university level, but the communication that will be going out to the managers is saying there's only a very small dollar value. So the main recognition is not going to be points. If it looks like a college or a supervisor's $75 to every single person once a week, right? We have to have that communication again. Say, this is the expectation. Great that you're recognizing your employees, but that's one tool. So you're giving a lot of points. Maybe you want to consider a bonus. Maybe you want to consider professional development. Maybe you want to consider other things, right? This is just one small portion of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi. So I was wondering how or if at all will this be used during performance reviews? Is there any measurement we're going to take from this to be used later on?
So I don't think the expectation is to say this is a performance management tool. Right now we're saying this is a way that people can appreciate others, right? However, potentially it can be used if an employee has, you know, some information that is, they have received a letter of recognition. It's almost like a 360 feedback, right? You know, maybe a supervisor may be looking at that, but it's not necessarily to say you've received all these recognitions. That means I need to get, you know, really great performance review because that could be other things that you do. And then maybe the supervisor has expectations of you that might not be related to those kudos. So it's really more of a 360 degree, you know, this is a portion of that that might be attached to performance, but it's not saying because you get this, the performance is this.
I have a question. So you mentioned peer review or peer kudos.
Yeah.
Is this going to then be open only to Bandit employees within your peer group, or if you perhaps worked with a lot of faculty or you work with a lot of students, would they be able to log
in? Students are not in this portal right now. Right now it's for Bandit staff. So any recognition to any Bandit staff we can recognize. And our supervisors are in there. If you're an academic supervisor, you're in the portal as well. So
if you're not an academic supervisor, but yet your interaction with a Bandit employee is regular and that's your clientele, they wouldn't be able to do it then.
They would be able to do it, but not monetarily.
Okay.
Yep. It's really, and you can do multiple people, right? If you want to do multiple people, you can do a team. So it's really another option to say thank you card, an email recognition, you know, to be able to say, you know, put in writing of something that we're, you know, at 100%.
Yeah. When is it going to be left?
So hopefully November and December.
Okay.
Right, around the summer.
Okay. So we're how will we know that?
So you'll know it because the main announcement to staff will be in the paw print.
Okay.
So it'll be in the paw print, and then there'll be in the manager toolkit, it will be on the website, it will be on our digital screens, and then there'll be potentially a leadership message coming from all of the college and units to the managers. The managers have a conversation with their employees, so it will be kind of making sure that, and potentially a university, you know, message they're coming out, but we're not quite sure that we're going to do that yet.
So as a follow-up question, yeah. You said there's a certain amount of monetary for each college and unit.
Mm-hmm.
What if a few supervisors use up all of their allocation in a period of time? Is it, how are they controlling that?
So there's no control, we're monitoring it.
Right? Okay.
And so we're just monitoring it to be able to say, monitor monthly, and then be able to see how these points are used. Like, we're excited to see how they use, right? Mm-hmm. Potentially, if they use them all in like a week, then that means to say, okay, you know, you're done with your points, now you necessarily need to do that. You know, that's why we should be considering the fact, like, there's not that much of the points to go around, so let's make sure that we're, you know, we're very deliberate in how we recognize those points, yeah. And then we'll see how it goes, right? This is the first year. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how many points are being used. We'll see how many recognitions are being given. Like I said, there's about 250 recognitions right now in the system that are real recognitions. You know, it's not just tests. And we'll see, you know, does the dollar value look like it needs to be increased? Does it look like it should be decreased? Do we need to, you know, increase the communication so people use the peer-to-peer recognition a little bit more, right? So this is a, you know, a test to see how we, how we're doing it. When I was doing the references, you know, I think people, they really liked the fact that the peer-to-peer could be recognizing each other. You know, how do we say thank you for something that, you know, our peers do with us, or somebody in another unit or something that we had a meeting with or we've heard. What I'd like to do moving forward is I'd like to be able to have the ability to copy the employee supervisor on there. That would be a really good message to say, you know, like if one of your teammates is doing something very well, you know, we want the supervisor. What do you, yeah.
Okay, both raise your hand.
So I sat in on this.
Yeah, I feel like you're really recommended, yeah.
The question got brought up about bargaining units, and I was confused about that, whether they were included in this or not.
Mm-hmm. So it's a great question. Right now, it's for the Bandit staff, but we're not live yet, right? So I think, you know, this is what we're putting it out there for the Bandit staff, but we definitely want to make sure that we're inclusive. So I would suggest, you know, when we're communicating with this, let's not talk right yet about if they're going to be included or not, because, you know, there's also the bargaining unit, the bargaining that has to happen with their contracts. So we're still working forward, you know, through that to see if we went live today, they would not be included at this initial onset. But we haven't gone live yet, so I think there's more to come potentially in that. So I feel like I'm being a little squishy on it, but, you know, today, you know, we're all employees, but then we also have bargaining contracts for those group and we don't for the staff. So this, we want to make sure that we go through the appropriate channels.
Are you considering not going live until you get that figured out?
We've already made a commitment to start this fiscal year. So if we do that, there will be communication to those union employees as to why, you know, we would be communicating with those union. So we want to make sure it's a positive thing. And so we know we don't want it to feel like it's exclusive, right? Or, you know, excluding people. So we do know that that is happening. And we want to make sure that we get positive message.
Ann?
Couple questions. So my concern again here is that this is dependent, the monetary portion, on supervisors. And individual supervisors are very different. And so how will HR use this information, central HR? Will it be you're dinged if you don't get any?
Absolutely not. No dinging, because this is one tool, right? So there might be other, supervisor might recognize in other ways. A supervisor might recognize their employees in a certain, in a different way, not using this portal. This is just one of the many ways we have the ability to.
Right. And so yes. For the non-monetary portion, how is this different from sending someone an email directly?
It's not different.
And saying thank you.
It's in addition. So A, we're attaching it to the skills for success to leverage those. B, we're also allowing other people to see everyone's recognition in a public way, to know that we have the ability to have a culture of appreciation, not just email to email. And three, it doesn't happen as often as we would like. A lot of people, when we have been communicating this, it's like, I've always wanted a way to be able to recognize a person, and then they, and you know, somebody in another team, they don't think necessarily to write a personal message to them. We know that it happens, right? We know that it happens, but then we want to actually have a systemized university way that we can make sure that we communicate, that everyone knows. And then we actually are tying our service awards into this. Maybe we'll be tying other of our awards into this, so that, you know, this is a portal that's used more for.
How would that look? I mean, tying service awards into this.
So it is going to be right now, so that the points that you receive normally when you have a university service award, you get a catalog, right, that you have the ability to choose an item. Last year was the first year that we used this portal. So instead of getting a choice of just 10 or 15 or 20 items that we could choose, you could use this portal, buy something at the campus store or through Amazon. And so the points that are going to be delivered from that are going to be tied to the spot recognition. So it's just one.
Eric.
So just a follow up. Actually, you can recognize people on Yammer. You can praise. So, you know, other than email. So we have that functionality. We use it in the unit.
Good.
So just an additional thing to have. And you mentioned something about 360. So are you involved at all in 360 or not?
Am I involved in the process that actually?
Like, you know, do you have any
of,
what is it? Yeah.
No,
okay. Because that's like the flip side of the coin, you know. I mean, I know you're not involved, just like maybe sharing thoughts with the larger group. You know, 360 is possible, but it's not kind of compulsory, and it will be nice performance dialogue, like grading kind of a downward motion, do it in kind of an upward. It's like, okay, what do you think about your supervisor or like your other colleagues? How do you grade, you know? So it's kind of both ways, you know, if there are problems or issues to be addressed, this way it becomes visible, you know. It's a feature that is available, but my understanding, I talked to my supervisor about this, it's not set up in an easy way. You would have to like create your team, so it becomes maybe more administrative, you know. So something to look
for the
at.
360.
Yes. So, you know, but like add that kind of good feedback, constructive feedback. Just
probably
combining.
Won't be using this as a
right.
constructive feedback.
Right, you know, it's not. I understand this is going to be good feedback, but how about like look at the flip side of the
sure,
point.
Sure, I can take
you
that
know.
Message back to the folks who
you know.
In the
360s. Thank you. Andrea, did.
Yeah, I hate to bring it up again, but I will. About the union
yes.
sort of exclusion aspect of it. The justification behind that?
The justification, please, this is what I was hoping that we that it wouldn't be going into that. So please, I don't, am I being recorded?
Yes.
Probably,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. So we're in the process of going through currently all What needs to happen is most of the benefits need to be bargained in the union contracts, right? So we want to make sure that this is a benefit. We want to make sure that this is the appropriate way that we are working with the union contracts to be appropriate, to appropriately include them. So we know that they want to be, we know that we want to be, make them included. Mm-hmm. And so we're just making sure that we're going through the proper channels, right? So that we know, I mean, HR, we all know, staff, we all know that it's a feedback and we want to be inclusive. So we just want to make sure that we go through the right channels. I feel like I'm repeating myself. So it's definitely inclusive. We know that we want to include the whole university, but right now, you know, we just have to make sure we go through the right channels.
I just want to point out there may be some backlash, the fact that they're not included.
Correct.
So just
and
to
so
be
we
well
want to
aware.
Make sure that we have our communication in
yeah.
Correct. Okay. So we know that sensitive subject. Thank
yes.
you.
Yeah.
So
these
question.
Are detailed questions. So
yeah.
I'm going to take it that this is a great thing because you're going into the details. Are you happy to think that this is a good thing? I mean, this is positive for staff. Can I get that feedback or no? Yes.
I mean, yeah, anything for staff where you can get positive feedback and kudos, I think is great.
Okay.
So, but I do have a question because
yeah.
we do get varies. We have different awards and some employees take them praise differently.
Right.
You mentioned that it is going to be public and or everyone will be able to see them.
Uh-huh.
Would then an employee be able to at some point either make the active decision that I would like to keep them private? I don't want everyone to see my...
So the public or private is designated by the person who submits it.
Oh.
Okay.
So the individual who gets them would not have any say whatsoever.
And if you know the employee that you want to do it with and you know the employee would prefer a private message, then great. You know, make sure you do that. It's on a feed. It's on a social feed. So, you know, what we're trying to do is enhance our culture of appreciation, right? You know, like, so if it's good information that we're putting out and somebody like, thanks for doing this, thanks, then that's great. If the employee is, you know, decides that they aren't really happy about that, then we can go back to the
right.
The person that sent it. We can go back to HR and, you know, we have the ability to alter
okay.
those messages.
It's
the
default private.
The default is public.
Chris and then Andrea.
I'd like to make a suggestion to everybody to think about using this as a tool to work on the One Cornell, the aspect specifically for new employees that are you know trying to find a way to be in Cornell. This elevated level of recognition outside of just an email, our sort of base, and around support staff. You know, your building care people, your minimum wage hourly people. Those are the kind of like. You get an email, you know, especially at the IT service desk, when someone hears that they satisfied somebody and felt really good about it. That goes a long way in IT. So your support people, your admins is a good use of, you know, thinking about trying to spread, how do we use this as effectively and get maximum value out of it? One warning I would say to the administrators of this program is in a previous company, we implemented it and there was a shortcoming in bonuses and sales staffs, and the supervisors used it to like backfill the gap between what employees were expected to be paid. So there is a reasonable amount of awareness about abuse of the program that you should have a heads up for. Because they try to fill in a gap that wasn't there, and it was like, oh, I still want you to be happy. $75, but.
Very good. And that's a really good thing that you mentioned about, you know, employees and onboarding that will be in the onboarding materials to be, you know, within 30 or 60 days, recognize your new employees with a message. Doesn't necessarily have to have points attached to it, just so that they become aware of this is the culture of appreciation of, you know, being able to, you know, send a message.
Andrea, then Anne, and we'll have one question after that. Wrap up.
I just wanted to clarify.
Yes.
I'm, of course, supportive of all aspects of it, but I represent facilities and campus services.
Yep.
So a large population of the people that I represent will fall into that unionized.
So we've had communications with facilities and campus services. So I'm willing to talk to you offline about what we communicate with the leadership,
right.
We communicate with HR, and to make sure that we have that.
Because I think that's vital. What you just talked about is with a custodian or support staff. But again,
right.
If they're in a unionized and line, they won't be able to do that.
Totally.
And that's where it can be frustrating. So again,
yeah.
I'm all for recognition when it's inclusive.
They will be included as soon as we possibly can include them.
Yeah.
It's not good. The program will not continue many, many years down the road without including those folks. just going through the right process, right? I want to make sure that, you know, that we stress that. Yeah.
Anne?
So, you know, I mean, I just get back to the individual, this, using the kudos in a non-monetary kind of reward thing, I just wonder if one would get the sense that, well, I thank them here, I thank them here, I thank them here, and, you know, I've done my thanking. Whereas, you know, it's a non-monetary, like a little star on the forehead or whatever, and, you know, I don't know how accumulative that is. And like for someone like me, for example, my supervisor is a faculty member who changes every 2 years as the chair of the department. And it's a burden for them to complete my time card. So there's never going to be any supervisory input at this level, you know.
So the communication that we are putting out is for the faculty supervisors is partnering with those administrative managers of those departments and being able to enhance those communications and seeing how it works. And this is exactly how what we want to be saying for the how will the faculty supervisors use it. Many will use that either, we've heard many will use it, one use it every single day, and many, like you said, they have the time cards that they have a difficulty with. So we want to make sure that the administrative managers are communicating
on this
that feature to be able to see, obtain feedback about how they will be able to use this process. So we want to make sure that folks that have faculty supervisors aren't excluded.
I'm sorry to barge in.
Yeah, Carrie.
I don't know if you guys can see me or what, but I do have I do have a question if there's still time.
Yes, let's take 5 more minutes. There are several questions still, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is Carrie from University Relations. I just had a couple clarification questions about, I guess, the funding. You mentioned that it's not, the university isn't paying any additional for this, that it's funded through the college and unit budgets. And so I was wondering, did they set the cap for themselves, or was that done centrally? And was there any, big picture wise, what is the thinking regarding how this relates to SIP and merit pay? My one thing that popped into mind was, will this, if the units are paying for this and the caps, whether or not they're set by them, but would it cannibalize the merit pay increases and the SIP in general that comes out of the budget already? And, you know, just considering that we have people who are looking, hoping for larger increases at some point in the future to go along with cost of living, that whole idea of cannibalization, is that a concern at all?
No, it's not a concern because they're separate. It's one tool. Sometimes an employee only gets that dollar value at SIP, right? That's the only recognition that they actually get. This will allow potentially some additional recognitions that they have. We are monitoring, we have a SIP program that we monitor. There is another additional money that some people use for discretionary bonuses that are monitored. And this is in addition to that. This is like a tiny piece of the money that people already spend in a discretionary way. So it will not erode the SIP program because that's a separate program. So this is dollars that are already, I'm talking to her because she has a zero picture. The dollars that are already spent in a discretionary way, this is a small portion.
I see. Okay, so it's carved out of the discretionary funds.
Right.
Got it.
Tanya?
So I think not necessarily a question, but more of a, I'm really excited about it. So I'll just share that there. I think, you know, the monetary piece, there's a whole lot to that and getting supervisors on board. What I would challenge us to say as an EA is that there's a great opportunity to kind of build that wave of recognition across campus. And I think about, like, I don't know if it's Gina or Pamela who does it or maybe Carrie on the EA Facebook page that says, oh, so-and-so won the Employee Excellence Award, so-and-so. We as a group can start to do some of that if we see someone doing something excellent and build that wave, because
how many of us actually get a whole lot of email that says, hey, thanks for this or thanks for that? We don't do it. And so if we can start and push that, and there's what, 20 some odd of us around the table, if we send one to one person and say, pay it forward, we can really start somebody. So that's just my, I'm appreciative of it, Kim. I'm glad you guys did the work to make it happen.
Thank you, Tony.
So Sarah? Just the same thing, a comment along the same lines. I think I do like the idea to push the culture of appreciation. I do not like the monetary attachment to appreciation. I don't think you should put these together. You know, it should, monetary maybe should come out in a different way as form of bonus, but if you appreciate me, I really don't want anything else. You know, like I've been to a Turning Point and we handed each other's cards that says, today Tariq did this. That's it. That meant the world for me. Why attach a dollar value to it? I just don't like that. You know, personally, I'm talking from, you know, I just don't, and you know, it creates all sorts of like, how are we gonna spend the money? The supervisors are gonna not spend that. You're creating almost like a kind of a cluster of, you know, more conflict there that
so
is not necessary.
It's one tool.
Right. It's one of the tools.
One person may get a promotion, right. One person may get a large SIP, one person may get a development opportunity, one person may get a monetary recognition, one person may get an excellence award. One tool
right.
In your toolkit, right? One
yeah.
Tool. And it's not that we and I charge you all to help with this discussion is it's not that if you get this award, you won't get a bonus. Absolutely not. We've
right.
Heard feedback from employees. You may have as well. Sometimes if employees get a bonus, maybe they get a bonus. The supervisor tries to give a bonus. They have to go to HR and they have to go to the budget and then they negotiate that. And then it goes to the employee 3 weeks later and it's in the paycheck and they forgot that it's there because taxes are taken out and they forget it, right? This is like real time recognition. So that's feedback that we also hear too. I definitely take your, you know, your comments in there. And then one additional thing is I had to go to customer service for one of my food home delivery, right? And a customer service person helped. And so then I got a survey and it said, do you want to give this person a high five, an extra 10 minutes for lunch, or like a $10 gift card? And so I thought that while we were going through this, and I thought that was really cool that this, you know, so of course I only gave him a high five, right? Because he only just had to replace my pepper. So it wasn't really that challenging. But for me, I really thought about it and say, was this extraordinary behavior that, you know, that I should say, yeah, I really think that this guy did an excellent job for my customer service to give a $10 gift card. No, I really want to say, hey, great job. Thanks for being a customer service and replacing my pepper for free, right? So it's just another thing that I was happy to see that there are organizations that are actually doing this. I appreciate the feedback. Yes.
Hey, and then this will be the last one.
Just a quick clarifying question. So supervisors can, you know, provide a monetary appreciation to, you know, people they supervise. What about people with dual reports? Are there other funnels for you to
see? So it's based on primary job, just based how it is for like other things that we actually recognize. So the primary supervisor will have those dollars and the secondary supervisor, if it's a dotted line, will not have the dollar value attached to it. So I would say it's definitely similar how we do our other structures. And that's something that we you know, have on our list to say, like, if you have a dotted line, how do we have those monies distributed?
Kim, will Cornell Tech be included?
Yes.
Okay, great.
And
thank
you.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. So thank you very much. Really
thank
appreciate
you
being
the
here.
Energy.
And we will certainly do our part to help communicate this and help spread the word.
Any messages for any additional questions? Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you.
Carrie, how many folks are on Zoom with us?
Karen.
Just
Carrie.
Me.
Okay. Great. Hello. All right.
Hello.
And BJC.
And BJC. All right. Welcome, BJC. I'm going to turn it over to Pilar. She has a couple announcements.
So as you all hopefully saw from my recent emails, we are still looking for a willing and active member of our EA team to join the CJC. I was approached by the CJC chair with a clear need and request from one of the EA members. And before we specifically point out and take a volunteer. I prefer to try to see that he is willing, the CJC chair is willing to even discuss changes in time meetings, make it more conducive to the employee's work schedule. So it's not towards the end of the day when people are needing to leave. Happy to see about trying to do it during a lunch period. Happy again to emphasize the Zoom possibility, but we do really, really need an EA member to step up for this. And those of you that are perhaps not chairing a committee or that are not actively pulled into some of our other committee work, I really need you to make that a priority. As I say, before we start selecting our volunteers.
Is it a 1 year commitment?
Yes, it is. Okay. 1 year commitment.
Just one.
So I had a question about what's involved. I mean, I understand there's a heck of a lot of research involved in evaluating campus codes, judicial codes. And so there's a lot of back research required.
And that's right. So it is a team effort. You have to have an interest in policy work. You have to have an interest in being engaged and digging through the material, the historical documentation. But the more individuals
have
that are
time to do that.
As with participating in any other of the committees, you are hopefully engaging and providing that time, whether it is policy work or it is just looking at the education committee and how we disseminate information about EDP. What it is if you have an interest, you're here at the EA, you've decided to join shared governance, we need those voices at the table. This table is needing those representatives coming directly from the EA. So again, the willingness from the chair to shift times of the meetings, the willingness to have a Zoom meeting is there in order to reach out to staff. So we really want to try to see those of you that have an interest in policy work, that it wouldn't be, you know, a drag, as it were, that it is something you really look forward to. And maybe perhaps it was just the time meeting that was an issue to you. Reach out to me and we can connect you with the chair, see if things would work. And we would prefer to try to get someone, an employee member there. Gina?
Just to let you know, there currently is a Zoom option.
Yep. Yes.
So you can, the meetings are every other Wednesday, 4:45 to 6.
Yep.
You can Zoom in from wherever you may be.
Yep.
What does CJC stand for?
The Committee for Judicial, what is it?
Codes,
Council?
No.
Codes and Judicial Committee. It's
codes, policy work, protocols.
Happy to say you can eliminate me.
I thought you were coming in.
Hey. No, I won an election yesterday. And I'm not allowed to participate.
Oh,
congratulations.
What was the election?
Say what we could recognize on the portal.
What's your new position?
I'm a town justice.
Oh.
For which town?
A very tough little town. Richford.
Wow. All right.
So you get tickets on 38 to come to
you. And it won't do you anything.
Oh. God, you see that you started off with the same thing. I'm happy to say I will not.
Tell you. Yeah. For those of you, as I say, please.
I can't participate.
Okay. For those of you that you know, if you're willing, you have an interest, let's reach out to the Zoom option. Let's see if we can do different meeting changes. We want those voices at the table. Gina?
Just one last plug. What's unique about this particular committee, it is a standing committee of the University Assembly.
Yes.
But its role is to recommend changes to the campus code of conduct. And the president is very involved in updating the campus code of conduct. Yes. So she convened her task force, they put forth recommendations. There's a lot of energy around mm-hmm. making the campus code of conduct, which right now actually applies to staff,
yep.
faculty, and students, making it accessible and digestible and not so punitive and legalese. So if it's pretty narrow in its scope, but it has I think it's just an amazing time for the opportunity to be engaged in at this, because there's a lot of folks who have years of experience on this particular code, but there's also a need for some fresh ideas,
yep.
looking at it really freshly to make sure that today's Cornell community can access it well. It's
and
an important
remember,
document, but it's,
as Gina says, it is a university committee. It's where we are, the few chances we are able to sit at the table equally with our faculty, with our students, and those are very important things to make sure we are at those tables. So it's a bigger, broader scope, a bigger influence that you do have, and I really would like to focus on those that if you are able to juggle a Zoom and have an interest to be at the table with these individuals, please come forward and let's see if we can plug you in and facilitate your influence at this committee.
Kate, do you have a question?
How flexible, you said they could be flexible on time.
They could, they're willing.
Time of day that.
They're willing to hear that out. If you could possibly set at least the time and the hours would probably stay until the end of the year for December. You could do a Zoom then, and then the discussion could come into moving forward and then you just change for a different time. So again, they want those new voices. They want to hear from employees. So if we have a chair that's really willing to outreach and to make sure we're being heard, let's take advantage of it. Let's try to go in.
Who is the current chair?
Sorry, Gina?
Sorry, I was just going to say, too, in addition to your ideas of fresh voices, it's important to make sure that not just the staff have a voice at the table, but you actually help them meet quorum. So
yeah,
right now there's without the regular attendance by the employee representatives, the work that the folks that do show up are doing, it doesn't happen because they don't meet quorum. So it's a responsibility to share governance in addition to all of the great interesting things you do, but there really is a sort of a civic obligation to fulfill the seat.
Yeah.
It's your seat to have, and it matters at that body as well. So
the student's name is Dale Barbaria.
Yeah, it's in the email. If you look at the thread that I gave you with the link, the committee, the dates, it's in there. And Dale reached out to me at a meeting just last week.
How many members are on the committee? I mean, how is the representation created?
I don't remember right now. Gina, do you?
Yep, it's two from each of the assemblies and the faculty senate and the presiding officer of each.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's our representative now? If we have two from this assembly and they're looking for, or are we actually looking for two?
Isn't it
Linda Kottman?
Yeah. She's the EA representative on the UA by the EA. So she's not from the EA. We need a from the EA. Sitting voting EA member.
Right. So there's an employee that's there, but not from the EA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tanya? You're right. Next.
Yeah.
So
that might be the next meeting. So just let me all know.
Please keep that in mind. did you want to bring up the.
Yes. And so then again, going on the fact of engagement from all of you at the table, we're looking to do our mid-year retreat focus at Geneva. We have the open seat at Geneva, as well as the fact that we're trying to get them engaged, feeling that they are part of our committee. We want to go up there. So we're looking for two volunteers from the EA that are willing to iron out the details of dates, car system, pooling, vans, things like that, and the details. Thank you, Tanya. Anyone else?
A million times.
Anyone else? And Marcy, yay.
Tanya.
You kept looking at me.
Well, you know, try. It sometimes works and sometimes it doesn't.
Great.
Tanya, perfect. Thank you very much, guys.
Okay. We'll go ahead and any new business for today? All right. Committee reports. Communications and Awards Committee. Carrie.
Hello. I'm back. Let's see. What's on my list? So I'm putting together a planning meeting for the for logistics for the George Peter Award. That is set for the 29th. So that's coming along. Those of you that are going to be in that planning meeting will see it on your calendar shortly. And let's see what else. We have those two sessions on the 12th for the staff conversations. The one in Myron Taylor is going to be via Zoom. So I am signed up to be the note taker. But we do also need somebody, preferably in the room, because that makes sense, to be logged on and monitoring the Zoom chat to see if there's any questions from other participants that are remote. I know Karen, is Karen there? Karen Loparco?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Well,
no.
Karen signed up as an EA member to join us. So I will see if she can do that. But if you do plan on coming to either of the two sessions on Monday, please go ahead. I will resend it to the members list, but please go ahead and just pencil yourself in for attending so we know we'll be staffed up for that. Hoping to get some good participation like the last couple sessions. And we have a committee meeting coming up next Wednesday. So that's my update for now.
Great, thank you very much. Education committee.
So we met on October, which I went over at the last meeting. And since then, Maureen Brohl, who manages the EDP programs, has accepted the request to gather data. So once she provides that back to me, I will doodle another meeting. We also had a new member join, Crystal Ronsek, who's HR Associate Director of Retirement Programs.
Great.
She actually works across the hall from Maureen Brohl. So I'm hoping to help facilitate analyzing that data and hope to have a meeting soon.
Great.
It's Maureen's busy time, so I've just given her another week or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much. Any questions? Welfare Committee? Andrea?
Yeah. We... thanks for all your patience and trying to schedule this. We have a meeting tomorrow.
Great.
From 4 to 5 at the East Hill Office Building. I know that that didn't work for everybody, but the other one didn't work for hardly anybody. So it's trying to, and I, there are participants that are not on the EA that want to be engaged. And I think more so that they were not just attending via Zoom.
Great.
So we're trying to at least from a building and given the work that this committee has to do going forward, I think it's important to sort of bring us together.
Yeah, fantastic.
So, and I will send out, I've gotten ideas from Hey about some additional things for us to do. And I'm just trying to get the agenda out for tomorrow and it's only an hour, but it'll take us some time. So thank you everybody for your patience.
Yes, Kate.
So I park it a lot and I will be going and getting my car and driving over there. So if it's helpful to someone who is planning on going to the meeting, I'm happy to pick you up. And John, you can back off. You want to ride Hey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Peggy, you have a question?
I have a topic and I'm sure which committee could use this information, either the education or the welfare committee. But I'm active with the Cornell Retirement Association. I'm on there. It's kind of like a steering committee. We had a meeting on the 22nd. They started doing a very detailed analysis of exit questionnaires that they give new retirees. And they're pulling some very good information that I think would be useful either in educating the general staff or people that are just close to retirement. But the report said that a lot of people are woefully prepared for retirement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Socially, they're not prepared. Financially, yeah. They're not prepared. They didn't have a plan in place. And it really can be disastrous. Did they have enough information? Paul Bursick was there. He's the former human resources person.
Yeah.
And he said that every year they did 2 or 3 seminars, either from Fidelity or from TIA Prep, and the same handful of 10 or 15 people would attend each one, so that people are not actively engaged in doing any kind of financial plan, except for one group. One group does an outstanding job, and those are the union-represented employees. Unions must have a plan. But I think from an employee assembly, somebody just jumped.
No, he's eating a safety, so
he's gonna go make them safe.
Oh, so I think it's something maybe we could take a look at.
Yeah,
maybe we can help people get ready.
So Tarek is benefits and policy. So that falls, I think, maybe more in
benefits.
On yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Would it be analyzing data though from
true.
The EWC? Not that we're asking for more.
I was gonna say because you've got the stuff coming up from the conversation, so
right.
I was trying to give something to Tarek.
Okay, Tarek, it's yours.
I mean, the way I look at it is a collaborative effort because you know, I didn't get to my update yet, so I'll wait.
Someone can take that, Peggy. Yay.
Yes. This football has to be, you know, caught
right.
by somebody.
It's a cake. We, two people can eat.
Okay.
Can you say what you said out loud?
She wants a harness instead of on the top shelf there.
Do you have one in your car?
There's another. There's a ledge below them.
Them.
All right. Transportation committee.
We have meetings scheduled starting Monday. If you want to participate in the committee, you haven't been invited. It's just my error, so please let me know. I'll get you on the meeting.
Great. And I've got a couple points to share with you from Mary. When Hey and I met with her last week, she said, please ensure that we continue to.
Corteric.
This is
transportation.
Yeah.
They didn't forget.
It's still community reports. Please ensure we can fight for free parking as the plan moves forward. One. And two, ensure that the retiree parking privileges are kept at the forefront of the thoughts as well with regard to any future planning.
Parking, yeah.
All right, Tarek.
All right, so we had a meeting.
It's
on,
like getting a football from
the quarterbacks.
He provides good footballs. So we had a meeting on the first of this month. It took the form of a brainstorming session. So at this point, we have half members that are in the EA and the other half, actually, they're volunteers. So that's pretty good. We have a nice balance, up to 14, I think, and they keep coming. So we identified about a dozen issues at this point, you know. It's on the, I sent out the minutes today. So what I'm asking everybody, they can, I've added the minutes to the website on the like employee assembly under meetings. So you can see our minutes. So you can, everybody can read the stuff. Yeah. So if you'd like to add any issues, let me know. That's one thing. The other thing, maybe it's helpful for, I'm gonna start maybe attending other, although I'm benefits and policy, maybe I'll attend welfare to understand what they're trying to do so we don't replicate, you know.
Great.
So at some point, this is gonna happen. So, you know, so we don't have to combine these committees. So next on the agenda for us is to form, so since we have the issues, to form smaller teams to attack each issue, because I don't want all the committee to working on one issue.
Right.
That's a waste of time. Other thing coming in next meeting. So we have Lauren Jacoby coming to talk to us, you know, in the meeting. So this way we establish some sort of framework with HR, how we're going to address these issues. I'm working on a meeting with benefits office in December. They're busy right now because they had the open enrollment. So hoping to kind of engage them because I really don't have an interface and I think I can just throw all of my footballs on what's his name?
Gordon.
You know, so because there'll be a lot of fit kicks and footballs. So at the time being, you know, feel free to send me any thoughts, like, you know, you mentioned these thoughts, you know, send them to me so I can assign them to a team so they can start doing the research, because every issue needs a lot of research, justification, history, you know. So we want to do our best to address.
Well, I think that's to bring this issue to the
right.
EA.
Right.
You folks have any idea of how to better educate them?
Yeah, I mean, that's great. So if you just send me a little thing that says, this is the issue. This is the issue. I mean, I just need some sort of background information so I can hand it over to a small group where they can do the research and they can come up with some recommendation. So that's the hope here. Or any other committee, would like to take this. So.
Great. Thanks, Terry.
I have an addition.
Yes.
We have snacks at our meetings.
So yeah, thanks. Yeah. We have snacks.
It's a selling point.
75, Ellen.
Depends what supervisor puts it in. College cost.
I kind of wondered if they could have signed that.
Not go there, picky.
All right, hey, executive committee.
Okay, so next week, we have Laura Santa Cruz coming to talk about the intervene program. There's a video that I'm gonna ask everybody to watch. And a lot of it, I know, deals with students, but I think it'd be good to know, you know, what kind of experience they're going through. Try to see what we can learn from Laura in terms of what we as staff can do. So hopefully we can garner some information from that. So please watch the video beforehand, because the expectation will be that we will have watched it. In December, Lori Johnston and Mary Overman will come to talk about policy 6.4. In February, we are going to have Bridget Brady and Reed come from the transportation office. So I want to ask everybody if you have any topics you want to bring up. I think it would be really helpful if you brought them to me, and then we're going to have the transportation committee kind of work through maybe some things that we can get resolved beforehand, or kind of bring up some major themes that we want to have Bridget and Reed discuss. So if you have any things you want to address during that presentation, please let me. And I think that that is it. I know that I mentioned that Ben Quill would come in early February, but I don't think that that will be the case. So we've got some vacancies in late January and early February for presentations.
Good question.
Yes.
Would it be possible to get the results of the transportation survey before they come, so that you can review that ahead of time?
Yes. Highly likely. We'll talk about that on Monday, and I'll be able to report.
Great. Awesome. So just a couple points before we convene or adjourn, rather. You know, the last several weeks for our country have been very difficult, and you know, whether it's through terrorist actions, racial bigotry, you name it, you've seen it. And so I would encourage all of us to going forward and being part of our campus community, to be as supportive of others as you can, particularly those that might be in need, just somebody to listen, somebody to talk to, have a cup of coffee, that kind of thing. We really need to be that bright spot for our colleagues on the campus, and so just make every effort you can to be that bright spot. I'd also say that I wanted to ask, rather, do you all feel that communication to this point across the day, it has been, do you feel like you're getting the information that you need, or that if you don't have the information, you can get it? Yes, Ellen.
I just have one quick request from the committees. If everyone could post their upcoming meeting dates on the EA like website where the yep. schedules are, because if we or anyone from the public is interested in attending one of the meetings, right now they're mostly blank, I noticed.
Okay.
So that would be really helpful.
We can help with that. If you send us, if you don't know how to manage the list or the website, send us the list of your meeting dates and we can do that.
Yeah, remember that OA is a fantastic asset for everything we do here at the EA, and that includes the website, the document, uploading the box. Please reach out to them. If we, the more we can get up there, the more we can all share and participate in, the better.
10 points apiece.
Yes.
So, Terry, question about the box. So is box open to all the EA members only? Like, how about
yes.
if we have a member on a committee that would like to access these documents?
Yeah.
Just once they were assigned.
Let's that's a good question, and we'd probably have to create a separate box, because right,
right.
now
committees,
the box
yeah.
permissions are, they start at the,
right.
at the top with everybody. So if it's meant to be just your committee, we could just create a new box folder for that.
Because I did not want to copy like the documents in too many places. So that's why I've been using the website. So
yeah.
since most of these documents are kind of public, so I put the agenda and the minutes
oh, that's
onto
perfect.
The meeting.
Oh, that's the way to do it.
You know, so
yeah,
I mean,
that,
you don't have
that.
To do that, but like use it this way for other committees.
Yeah.
So this way they can, others can follow the progress,
right.
you know, especially when a committee leaves, like they retire, the staff retires.
Yeah.
Someone else can see the
historically,
record.
Yeah.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the ideal application.
Right.
Instead of having the OA have to duplicate box accounts,
yes.
it would be better.
Okay, great. Anybody with communication concerns, you know what's going on and what direction we're heading.
Where are we?
Yes, Ellen.
If we are missing a meeting for any reason, are we supposed to have like a proxy come in our place or?
No, that's not necessary. You're obviously.
I feel like I read that somewhere, like.
That would be for. I would encourage you to contact Hey if you're going to be absent, particularly if we do have something that we're voting on, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But for normal meetings, I mean, we all have our other jobs, and there are going to be times that you're not going to be able to attend a meeting, and that's fine.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, have a wonderful afternoon. Enjoy some sunshine if you can. The meeting is adjourned.
Okay.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.